Now, it is such a pleasure to welcome back to our studio South Africa's first ever Michelin-starred chef, Jan-Hendrik van der Westhuizen. Those of you who've been lucky enough to travel to Nice in France might have dined at his restaurant, Jan. For most of us, we will only have dined by TV screen as we have soaked up his television series about his life and work and travels. And the good news is that the second helping is about to be served because Jan Series 2 launches on Monday the 3rd of February on VIA, which is channel 147 on the DStv network. And there are a few other side dishes to be served up this year that we need to talk about as well. Jan, it's so lovely to have you with us again. Welcome
back.
Thank
you, Papa. It's lovely being here.
And I know our listeners always have questions for you, so let me just remind you that the lines are open to you on 021-446-0567. If you've eaten at Jan and you want to share some reminiscences about the meal you had there, we'd also love those voice notes on 072-567-1567. You have had so much on your plate since we last talked. You were with me when Jan the Journal launched. Several editions now under your belt, four already.
Exactly.
A new TV series in the making, a new incubation space opened in Cape Town, a new restaurant coming later this year.
It does sound quite a lot.
Insane.
No, it's really manageable, and it's I am very kind to myself when it comes to how I kind of spend time where. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly based in France. That's the mothership back at Jan. And I do regular trips back to South Africa to spend a week in the Kalahari, where we're opening Klein Jan at Tswalu Game Reserve. And then just a week catch up in Cape Town with the journal, editorial staff. And the Innovation Studio, which is actually so much fun, you know?
We're going to talk about all of those aspects. Exactly. But, I mean, being away from the mothership has got to be tough, especially the pressure of a Michelin star, the pressure to maintain standards. How do you manage it? If I recall correctly, last time you told us you had an app that helped you stay connected with your kitchen.
Exactly. I can check out everybody, what they're up to and what they're doing. And it's just, you know, the staff, we've got the star now for 4 years, and it's the same team that got the star, and we know each other inside out. We just literally trust each other. We're like brothers and sisters. And these days it's so difficult to get away from social media and those things. So if I would see a post on somebody that dined at Jan, and I go through the pictures and I see like, oh, there was a drip on the plate, instantly it's a WhatsApp group, and it's just, okay, sure, chef, we'll attend. You know, but saying all of that, I think it all comes down to just surrounding yourself with amazing people.
You sound like you've got an amazing team, because it says a lot that they're still with you after 4 years.
Exactly. Okay. And they're not South African, so you said that last time.
Yeah,
as well.
Which is lovely. I mean, how often do you change the menu at Jan? Because it's such a creative process for every single one of those dishes. It can't be an overnight change every week sort of process.
No, exactly. So that's, you know, being in the kitchen and trying to push the standard all the time on a consistent level, you don't have much space and time for being inventive. And creative juices is just all focused on making sure that the next plate is going to be perfect. And I always say your last plate, that's how good your service is. You're always as good as your last plate. So that's why we opened the Jan Innovation Studio in Cape Town, which is headed by almost like a head chef, and she oversees the studio, the space. We've got 4 to 6 students that constantly invent and innovate. We've also got the biggest South African cookbook library in this space. It's in Kloof Street. And, you know, we just go back into the archives. People donate old books, and we just make students push the limits with us further. And then that recipe gets packed up, photographed, documented, tested, and it gets sent to Jan. So we change the menu, I would say, every quarter. We never make huge changes. We would stick to what we know. Our classics, people come back for those. And that's why Klein Jan also popped up. It's a blank canvas, and it's just a new fun going out there.
We'll talk a little bit more about Klein Jan, but just before we leave that innovation space, those students, I mean, what an opportunity for a culinary student to be part of this. Where do they come from? How do you pick them? What does it take to get into that kitchen?
They get selected from cooking schools, cookery schools in South Africa. We also, we kind of have a curriculum within the studio.
Okay.
So they would spend 1 or 2 hours per week doing media food journalism. They would do publishing, food writing, food photography, pretty much everything we do in Jan the Journal.
Yeah.
These students assist with, they learn from the best in the industry. And this is such a great way of within a course, we're giving another course. And then they go to France for 3 months to work at Jan, and then rotating back to the Kalahari. So it's really, and to research in the Kalahari. So it's a triangle of just spreading information.
What an awesome opportunity. Now the Kalahari. Okay, so Klein Jan is due to open in November, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly.
Just talk us through, because for those who are not familiar with how this came about and what the concept is, tell us more.
Pippa, about 3 years ago, I met Jonathan and Nikki Oppenheimer, and they've been to the restaurant in France, and we really saw eye to eye, and it was this really long, beautiful process of getting to know each other. And from a friendship, we started talking to each other about opening something in South Africa. Okay. And, you know, it's always difficult to not exclude South Africans, because you've got these high exclusive lodges and they're really expensive and they 5-6 star service. So we decided we're going to open a restaurant, but it will be open for public as well.
Okay.
So real foodies will be able to come to Klein Jan, and that's what my grandmother used to call me.
Okay.
So I thought it was really appropriate. Yeah. And I'm sitting here today in my fallies. I'm just so happy to be bringing back, you know, we've got an old Koolstoof, which is going to be the center point in the restaurant. And that's the Koolstoof I grew up with.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So there's really a lot
from the farm. Yeah.
A lot of sentiment. And it's opening 1st of November. It's Kalahari cooking. We're focusing on the regional surroundings, about 100 to 200 kilometers radius. We've already got the students on horseback every morning, going foraging, finding out what is edible, what is not, what the Kalahari really offers us.
That's amazing.
As chefs.
Have you opened for bookings yet? Or if not, when's that going to happen?
No, not yet. But it's on my website. It's janhendrik.com. We'll open soon.
Okay. And, I mean, the concept of Kalahari cooking, you are close to hot as hell, I believe.
Yes, exactly.
You must be used to that from restaurant kitchens, I gather. But how different is the cuisine going to be? For those of you who've dined at Jan and been lucky enough to visit you in Nice, will it be a completely different experience?
Yes.
Or will, how so?
And I think you can never just repeat a concept. Mm-hmm. I think there's something it's just wrong. You're back in France and we've got so much opulence there with produce, and back in the Kalahari there's nothing, you know, and there's this rarity and the beauty of selectiveness and really a beautiful crystal baccarat glass with the old blikbord. And that's the contrast, you know, and that's it. And then you'll have a fire as a main cooking mechanism, and using the sand, baking in the sand, and so it'll be very interesting. We are looking at bringing a French chef who really specializes in insect cooking. So we're quite this is a future trend in the world of food, and we just want to cook what's around us.
There is a restaurant, I'm trying to remember its name. I wonder if my producer can remember. We had some guests in studio last year who'd opened up an insect-based restaurant here in Cape Town, and I tasted some of their dishes. And once you get over the
concept,
it's the mental block, because they tasted great. The texture was wonderful. The flavors were great. It's just the mental block of changing the way you look at something and changing how you feel about what's edible.
And I'm not saying, you know, you're going to go and eat insects at Jan or Klein Jan, but just to acknowledge that they're out there. It's the biggest source of protein we've got around us in that area, except for the game. And then, you know, there's ways to use it.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke at the beginning about the fact that a new series of the TV show is launching. I'm so looking forward to visiting the Innovation Space tonight for the official launch, and then it goes to air on the 3rd of Feb. The first series was enough to make you want to pack your bags and get on a plane and find this little village called Apricana in Italy and never, ever, ever leave, Jan. It was about your life in the kitchen. It was about your travel. It was about characters that you met along the way. Is Series 2 going to be more of the same or different in some respects?
So we're traveling much more, which is very exciting. We've shot Season 2 over 2 years. So it's been really a documentary of my life over the past 24 months. And every episode has got so much detail in it that I'm just so excited. You know, the music is so important. Just the whole experience. We're traveling, we're going back to roots where I've started. We're going back to South Africa. We're then going to Paris, where I worked for a short time, Champagne. We're doing Italy, of course. We're doing the Kalahari. We're doing Cape Town. So it's worldwide, but it's got that strong, what did we leave last time off when we left Nice? You know, what kind of was the catch-up?
Looking forward to seeing it. So channel 147 on the DSTV network is where you'll find Via. Monday the 3rd of February is when the series launches. And I assume like last time it'll go on to Showmax as well?
Exactly. It starts on Showmax on the 3rd as well.
Okay.
And it's this time we've got 12 episodes. Last season was only 8.
Okay.
They're 50 minutes each. So yeah, if you just want to escape, pour yourself a glass of wine and switch on.
And live vicariously. the glamour and the travel and nostalgia, et cetera, was wonderful. But of course, you get to do that with your feet up, whereas you're in the kitchen at how many hours a day? I don't want to know. Actually, I do want to know. How many hours? I mean, a typical shift at Jan in Nice, how long is it?
We kind of restricted a little bit now, I believe. And I think that's why our team is so dedicated and focused, as we stopped doing lunch.
Okay.
So dinner only 5 days a week, and it's 28 covers. So you've got, in a way, I think life has changed and the way we work. You know, you can't just put a chef or a student in a kitchen for 18 or 20 hours anymore. They'll perform amazingly for 6 months, and afterwards they'll just burn out and they'll move on to something else. So we're really trying to, we've got yoga classes for the team. There's just a really open, really family atmosphere with everybody.
That's amazing. I mean, we heard it referenced at the Eat Out Awards in November, time after time, people talking about mental health in the kitchen, the importance of looking after your team. And somebody, I can't remember which chef it was, used the phrase that the experience of the person leaving by the back door must be as good as the experience of the person going through the front door. And I loved it.
Yeah, and people can taste food that's been prepared under rough circumstances, you know, like that swearing and all that drama that happens in a kitchen.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be there. It should just be a inviting space that you want to go to.
I'm smiling because from my waitressing days, my entire lexicon of Portuguese swear words comes from being sworn at by the chef in the kitchen, and
you
I won't repeat any of them,
still,
I promise. I know, they're still there. I also just want to mention that the latest edition of Jan the Journal is out, volume 4, and I mean, it's a coffee table book. This is not a magazine. To call it that would be just the wrong term. It's got recipes. It's got beautiful, beautiful photographs. It's also got really interesting snippets of information. And I opened the page, and the first thing I see is a piece on fake saffron, which I didn't know was a thing. Can you just briefly tell us?
So the journal has really moved and progressed over the past 2 years into a collector's item, but also you want to go back for the beauty. And then there's these kind of sections which will constantly be pulled through, like information and almost a little bit of education.
Yeah.
And this is something that I recently discovered, is that most saffron out there is just the hair of corn, and that's just been dried out, colored, and flavored with fake saffron flavoring. And then it looks exactly like saffron, and
you're
buy this
paying.
Exactly, like so much thousands. This is and it looks exactly like saffron, and it tastes the fakeness. I mean, so we share these, it's called fake food. That's the section in the book, and every journal has that section from going on forwards. And then we throw in a lot of fun in the book as well. There's how to dine alone, you know, like those tricks on what you should do. The food we're serving at Jan back in Nice, seasonal recipes, over 50 recipes currently in the journal.
And they look absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
The cocktail section alone just makes me want to send all my New Year's resolutions out the window, because it's just so beautifully shot. So please, everybody, look for Jan the Journal Volume 4, which is still on sale. I think we've got time to squeeze in a couple of listener questions which have come in on the SMS line, if I may. Somebody's asking about your favorite kitchen gadget, or the one you regard as indispensable.
It's definitely the Japanese mandolin.
Okay.
It's like you can do anything with it, and it's just elevates your salads, your anything to the next level. It's those days of slicing a cucumber with a blunt knife.
Yeah.
It's over. Just woof, get yourself a Japanese mandolin.
Okay, so Japanese mandolin. But what about your knives? What knives do you use?
I'm not a big knife person.
At all.
No. I'm same with pens. I always borrow someone's pen.
Use the turn lightly, borrow. Okay.
I'm really, in that regard, not a typical, chef that polishes his knives at the end of the service, which rarely happens, in fact. I do a lot with, I'm working with Wusthof. That's my, yeah, I'm kind of in love with that. And then I've got globals, a few globals lying around. But yeah, it's moving between what works for me at this stage.
Okay, interesting, very interesting. Somebody else asking what you do to unwind at the end of a shift in the kitchen.
I make myself something at home, which is normally quite not, I don't know, it's like naughty food. You know, I would, my latest thing is to order 4 McFlurries. You can't order one because they only deliver 4. And midnight after 1 o'clock, you'll get
not expecting that
4 McFlurries coming in through the front door, and you freeze them. And as you just, it's like dirty little, you know, like having fun as well. We're not perfect.
Chefs actually order McDonald's. Can you believe? No, I know. I lived with a pastry chef for a time, and in all the time she lived with me, the most she ever made was peanut butter toast. Because
exactly.
By the time she'd finished cooking for everyone else,
exactly.
The last thing on her mind was
exactly
making something
I
decent.
I do a big bowl of lentils at the beginning of the week, and I just put that in the fridge in little buckies, and I just separate that throughout the week. And that's kind of a staple, yeah, just nice protein.
Okay. I'm not going to go into advice for home cooks because we haven't got time, but I think we can squeeze in the one rather nostalgic question about when you do arrive home in South Africa. What's the thing you first crave to eat here when you get home?
It used to be a braai, but I've been back lately quite a few times, and I've been braaied out a bit. So I'm a little bit more now going, we don't do spicy food back in France, and the French don't really like that. So I'm just obsessed with Indian or Cape Malayan, or I'm like just any curry or samosa or any of that sort. I'm just digging in that.
Okay, so if somebody arrived on the doorstep at 87 Clough Street with a tray of samosas,
you will be my hero.
To the sanctuary. Okay, you heard it here. Jan-Hendrik van der Westhuizen, and it's great to have you back in town, and looking forward to the new TV series. I loved the first one, looking forward to the next one. Everybody listening, look out for Jan the Journal, Volume 4 in stores, and I've just quickly got to mention that beautiful innovation space. Is it open to the public at all? Can guinea pigs come and dine there?
We do. So every 6 weeks we have slots open, and people can go onto our website. It's janhendrik.com. We open the booking 6 months in advance, and it's myself cooking. It's not open if I'm not there.
Okay.
So it's kind of a 14 guest, really sit down together, one group. Wow. It's very popular for birthday parties and just celebrations. And we take you through 8 nostalgic South African courses.
Sounds absolutely fabulous. I know what I'm doing for my birthday this year. I hope you'll be in town in July. Great to have you with us.
Thanks
so much for making time for us. Jan-Hendrik van der Westhuizen. And remember to look out for the new season of Jan, which starts airing on Monday the 3rd of February on VIA, which is channel 147 on the DStv network.